Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I'm going to fight my way through this message because, and I'll tell you, it's not because I don't know it, because I know it like the back of my hand. It's not because it's difficult in the or it's rangy, the material. It's because it's so important. And I want you to hear this like it's really, honestly, truly something that's important. And that you get this, and I believe what Jeremy said. You get this, it affects the rest of your life. And I want the rest of my life affected, don't you? I'll just tell you this. I'll just strike a nerve. And some of you guys go, man, I'm scared of the devil. I have no fear of the devil. Okay, understand that. No fear of the devil. None. To me, let me tell you what he is. He's a defeated foe in my life. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same spirit that whipped him, made public humiliation of him, lives in me now. So lack, sickness and disease, discouragement, depression, anxiety, doubt, they are not the prophecy of my life. Not, period, end of subject. I'm not speaking that, I'm not believing that, I'm not grabbing a hold of that, I'm not allowing that to be the direction of my life. The direction of my life will not be lack. Can you guys repeat that? Say it again. We don't play church. We can't play church here. We can't just come in and go, you know, I'm just wearing my cute outfit and I fixed my hair up and I wish I would have dressed differently and had different hair right now. I'm not using it. Because you're looking and going, your hair's not that really that cool. But it's not that. It's not our little club and our little clique. This is the hope of the world. Like, understand the gravity of this for me. I've given my life to the local church. I believe in the sanctity of the local church. You don't want to mess with the church. And then, or you can be like some super weak, super weak. You can let stuff come out of your mouth that's super weak, that like, oh, the church is full of hypocrites. When I hear that now, I'm like, weak. That's horribly weak. And you don't get it. You don't understand. You have no idea what you're talking about. We can't play church here. We don't do it here. And if something applies, something that's said in here today applies to you, please take it. Grab a hold of it. I mean, even if you know, our dear friend Dick Mills, your dad, he'd say, man, say, I'll take that. And he literally would have people reach out and grab it. Whatever you have to do, get this in you. I want to talk today about prophecy. I want to talk today about how God uses prophecy on the earth today. That it's not like the Old Testament. It's not like it's not just the office of the prophet. It's how the prophetic word. And I don't know that I've ever really spoken about this in depth in 30 years of ministry. But it's something that I can't get away from. I'm going to talk about it again next week. I believe it's key to helping people find the direction that God has for their life, which is their destiny. And some in the church today, some leading churches today, are more politically literate than they are scripturally literate. It's troubling to me because there's such a chasm in America today. There's so much division. Everything's so polarized that it's like you got to pick a side. Let me tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to pick a side. I mean, there were even social media posts of me speaking to people that were on a different side of the aisle than people thought of somebody I should be talking to. And really honestly, this person who, if I said her name, everyone here's heard of it and has an opinion and has heard something about it. But she came up to me and said, you know, you spoke about the name of Jesus being above all names, above everything that's been named on the earth. And then she asked me, she said, would you speak to that in depth to me And so I did. And somebody took a picture, and it was on a post, and it was like, man, I got texts from friends that said, I can't believe you were talking to her. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? See, do you understand? My words are prophetic. Your words are prophetic because it's God's word. My opinions aren't. Write that down. Shear's opinions are not prophetic. But God's word is. See, this place is full of angelic hosts. There's not a lick of demon in this place. And let me tell you, but it's full of angelic hosts. It's full of angels on assignment from heaven, protective and delivering God's promise and doing all kinds of things, working on our behalf behind the scenes. But then there's also angels here that are just here that are what? That are here just checking it out because they see a guy that's 6'1" and full of fun and 6'1" and full of fun and 61 years old and married for ever and can't remember when he wasn't married and kids and grandkids and people and responsibility and tarnish and chips and cracks and miscuts and failures and stuff. And so here I am, but when I speak God's word, it dumbfounds them because it's like, wait a second. I see him, but I hear God. Write that down. I see him, but I hear God. When we speak God's word, we are not speaking our opinion. We're speaking the truth. A word that becomes a thing that expands the kingdom. That's what prophecy is. It's a word that becomes a thing that expands the kingdom. What does that mean? It breaks down walls of division. It brings unity into situations that nothing else can bring unity. Man, the Bible's clear. Man, you want our land to be healed? God's not calling on the government to make that happen. Civic leaders, social justice, none of that stuff's going to make that happen. And I'm not talking about a good, bad, or indifferent. I'm talking about what the word says. And what the word says is those who are called by my name, if they humble themselves and pray, I'll heal their land. Do you understand the control you have? Do you understand how vital your voice is now on the earth? God's not in to the kingdom of this world or your kingdom for that matter. He's into his kingdom, the kingdom of God. That's who we are now. That's what we represent now. Our citizenship's not on this earth anymore. It's in heaven. In John, the 10th chapter and the 25th verse, Jesus answered him. And he said this, listen, he said, I told you and you still don't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. I mean, what he's saying is, look, I'm backing up what I'm saying. And Jesus said, but you still don't believe because you're not my sheep as I said to you. See, there's sheep, there's goats, there's wolves. You want to be sheep. He said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Goats don't. Wolves don't. Sheep do. And he said, I know them and they follow me. See, my job as a pastor is you follow me as I follow Christ. But my job is, there's Jesus. Come on, let's go. That's it. In a nutshell, it's if all hell's breaking loose, man, where are you, God? I got to find God because let me tell you, that's my high tower I run to and I'm safe. That's my source. That's my refuge. That's my comfort. That's my counsel. Are you with me on this? See, I'm going to help you find, if all hell's breaking loose in your life, if you're trying to get your kids back and you need a job, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to speak faith and I'm trusting God. And you know what? The next time I see you, I mean, oh my gosh, I got a job and my kids, it's moving the direction. It's like, here's the idea today, is we're going to get things going in the right direction and we're going to stay on track. Everybody say stay on track. My word, my life is prophetic. And see, and because there's a difference in having drama in your life and being lost, or having drama in your life and having victory. Both lives have drama. But you choose what your destination's going to be. You choose what your route's going to be. See, you might have drama in your life and you feel like you're lost. You're in a great place if that's the case. Because I'll tell you what, God's going to speak to you today. Every single one of you. Whether you hear it or adhere to it or follow after it or choose it as direction in your life, that's up to you. I'm not responsible for what you do. I am responsible for how you think. The Bible says I have to make account for your soul, the manner of which you think. You're allowed to reject it, and it's not on me. But if I don't speak this, I'm telling you, last week, this week, next week, I am compelled by the Spirit of God on the inside of me to speak this to you. That's how vital this is. That's how valuable it is. Man, God's speaking to you right now. You're a sheep. God, I'm your sheep. I hear your voice. God, I know your heart. God, I set your direction in my life. And you know what you do? You begin to move in that direction. And you know what God does? God permits, what God does in his life is he puts this umbrella over our lives. And it's his grace. And it shelters us. And it protects us. Man, it's comforts. It's power. It's strength. It's favor. His favor's on my life. And then God wants me to move forward or move into a direction. He's not just going to take that favor and yank it out from over my life and put it over here and me got to go blindly follow it. See, that's what I think we think the notion of the old covenant is. They'd get up and they'd have to find the Shekinah glory, or they'd have to find the smoke of the altar or something and run to it. But let me tell you, that's in my heart now. See, so what God will do is that grace will begin to move and shift a little bit in my life, and I'll be like, oh, wait a minute. And I take that step, and I know I'm in it. And see, that's how it happens. The same way you took a step right now. You guys are adults in here, young adults, old adults, whatever. But let me tell you, no one's applauding your step unless you've been severely injured. Then we do. You know, I know people that it's like they're going to learn to walk again. They're going to learn how to eat again. They're going to learn how to speak again. So they say a word, and it's like they were 13 months old, and they said mama or something, and they're like, oh. Man, you come in and say mama now, you're like, what? You want me to applaud because you could speak? You want me to applaud because you could take a step? Man, if you're brand new in this and you take a step of faith, I'm telling you what, we'll raise the roof for you. But let me tell you, man, if you're a follower, if you've got ministry history in your past and you've done great things for God, you take a step, that's what you're supposed to do. You don't get the accolades and applauded anymore. You just keep taking those steps. Well, they don't appreciate me anymore. No, you know what? We do. But as soon as you're not lost, you're off the agenda. You've got the grand prize. What did Jesus say? My will, I'm going after the lost sheep of Israel. That's why the Pharisees are looking down at him with their long noses, and they're looking down at him thinking, no, you need to be here for us. You know what he did? He shredded that notion, didn't he? No, he said, the highways and the hedges is where you go. No, you know what he said? The blind, the lame, the maimed, and the poor. Why? Because any of those guys take a step, man, heaven rejoices. See, the difference in the old covenant and what we have today is that in the old, God spoke through one man at a time. The prophetic voice was so important. They had to go find that one man. And he heard from God, and he'd communicate it. See, today, God pours his Spirit out upon all of us. It's on all of us. We've all got God's hand in our life. We all have God's voice in our souls, and we're allowed to communicate that with our mouth. Greater is He who's in me than he who's in the world. Man, that's permissible to come out of your mouth today. See, don't get your cues from the news or social medias. Get your cues from God's Word. That's where our cues to life come from. Man, what's on sale at Saks or Gucci or whatever it is you're checking out the sales? Man, yeah, that's fun. But we get our cues from God's Word. When we read our Word, it cues us for life. It cues us for how we speak and when we speak and how we hear and what we hear. And it's not all that trendy. It becomes awkward. You know, when science or a doctor reads an x-ray or an MRI, it's like the diagnosis may not match God's promise. That's why we speak God's promise, because that diagnosis will shift to God's promise. And that's what this is about today. It's shifting you. Well, I've asked God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I've never spoken tongues. Well, let me tell you, quit saying that. You might say, well, but I've never prophesied. Quit saying that. Man, you find God's Word, you look at His promise, and you speak God's promise, and that's the prophecy of your life. That's how this works. That's why. Why do you think, let me ask you this, why do you think, I'm not upset with you. Does it seem like I'm upset? I'm upset, but this is so easy, and it's not deep. I mean, we can reach in. It's arm's distance from us. But you just have to reach and grab it today. Why do you think the Word says that your latter days will be greater than your former? Why do you think it says that? Do you think that's just, well, you know, things just work out? Things don't work out. Things work out when you say they work out. Things work out when you proclaim God's promise. Things work out when you prophesy in your life. That's why. Why do you think Jesus, multiple times, why do you think Jesus said, you've heard it said, but I say to you? You've heard it said that form of cancer is lethal, but I say to you, I've sent my word to heal you and deliver you of all your destructions. But I say to you, you lay hands on the sick and they recover. Well, my gosh, that means my hands are special. Let me tell you, when Jesus is Lord of your life and your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, everything about your life is special now. Everything. Everything you put your hand to prospers. Man, I'll tell you, this is in Acts, the second chapter in the 16th verse, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It's coming true in all of our lives today. And it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. It's not just for a few that walk in that office of prophet. Prophecy's in all of us now. It's generated by God's promise. Man, I'm not talking about the gift of prophecy as one of the nine spiritual giftings. I'm talking about the dynamics, the prophetic power of God's Word. You store God's Word in your heart. How many guys are storing God's Word in your heart? Can I see your hands? Come on, wave to me. You're storing. Well, that's the pantry of our lives now. Where you come in and you've got a need, you feel hungry. What do? You go to the pantry. It's like that kid, man, as a teenager, I'd walk over to we didn't call them refrigerators, we called them ice boxes. You open it up and you just stand there and look. You know, my dad had talked to me, like he went through the Depression every other month or something. He'd come and go, man, close that up. You're wasting all that. It's like, I'm looking. What are you doing? I'm looking. And then you go into like a trance. Any guys have teenage boys? Can I see your hands? They go to the refrigerator and they open up the refrigerator. They go into like a trance. What are you doing? I got to find something to eat. I'm famished. Well, you just ate. I know. I'm starving to death. My big ones are eating my little ones. I've just got to. And it shall come to, I don't know what I'm talking about there. I don't know why I said that. That I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will what? What? I can't hear you. They're going to prophet. Your sons and your, man, your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams, which is awesome about God, because old men don't dream dreams. Their dreams are gone. They're dusty. It's like young people dream. What do you want to be? I want to be an astronaut. No, God flips that. God's kingdom says old men will dream dreams. Man, young men will see visions. Man, what's that? That's a picture of a preferred future. Man, why do I surround myself with as many young people as I can? Because God gives them pictures of a preferred future. What do I have? I've got a dream. My dream's alive. You know why? Because so many preferred futures are pictured in front of me. See, that's how this family works. My men servants and my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. They'll proclaim my promise and that word will become a thing and it'll expand the kingdom. This isn't the privilege of the few, the prophetic, the power of the prophetic word. And it's important for us to realize this. It's important for us to understand that we can prophesy into our kids' lives and our wives' lives and our boss's life and our lives. See, all we're doing, like if you're in a situation, don't raise your hands, but if you're in a situation right now where you'll say, there's no way for me in this situation, that's not from God. If it's pessimistic or negative, it's from hell. If it's positive or optimistic, it's from God. And I'm not talking about just generalities. I'm talking about the specifics. And you look at your life. Where do you want your life to go? What direction do you want your life to take? Do you want to go to the land of more than enough? The land that flows with milk and honey. There's going to be giants. Those lands are inhabited. Devil's not just going to let go because you want him to. You wish he would. But you know what? What God will do on your behalf, when you take a step toward that promised place that God gives you, man, you take a step toward that. Can the band come back? When you take a step toward that promised place that God has for us, let me tell you what God begins to do. He begins to double the recompense. He begins to double the reward. He doubles up on it just to prove to you the sanctity of his power in your life. See, this is a frustrating thing. I want to communicate this well enough. So it's like we're playing soft toss and I can just, and you could grab it. You could catch it. You know, I would play with a ball with my, how old is Teal, Sandy? Is she two? 2-year-old grandbaby this past week, and we're out in the backyard, and I'm flipping this ball to her, and you know, she's just going like this, and boom, the ball would fall to the ground, and then she'd throw it back to me, and it wouldn't even come near, and I'd go grab it, and I'd flip it to her. I said, well, put your hands together. And I got close enough to her that I wasn't just handing it to her, but I got close enough to her that I pitched it, and it hit in their cradled hands, and I said, you caught it. And she ran around the backyard with her hands up like this. She's a little Brooklyn. She ran out. She goes, I caught it. Like she should get an Olympic gold medal. That's how God is with us. See, what does the Bible say, son? The Bible says, draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. So you're drawn in. You need God. You draw into God. And what is he going to do? He's going to draw into you. Why? He wants you to catch this. Nothing that I have in my life that I have to make a diving catch that's going to make a Sports Center highlight reel. Nothing. It's all pretty boring. It's God just soft tossing it to me and me having my hands just cradled. You know what's interesting? In the Old Testament where the Bible says lifting holy hands, see, that's why I tell people to lift their hands a lot. Everybody lift your hands in the house of the Lord. Go ahead, do it now. Lift your hands. The Bible calls them holy hands now. I don't know where your hands have been. You might have the most jacked up life in the world, and your hands are responsible. But you know what? As soon as you're in the house of God and you lift them, they become holy hands. So I need all the men in the room to lift your hands again. Get a double dose of that holy hand thing. But listen, this isn't how they lifted their hands. Do you know how they lifted their hands? Okay. Here I am, God. This is the day you've made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad. Hey, God, there's something great coming in your life. Do you hear me? There's something great coming in your life. Do you hear me? You got to hear it. You who have ears to hear, there's something great coming in your life. Do you hear me? Things are changing. All hell may be breaking loose, and maybe all kinds of drama, but you're not lost. You have the victory. I'll tell you what, in 35 years of marriage, I'm just telling you, it's a track standing I've taken. No matter what happens, we got to find the victory. And I'll tell you, there's steps we take to go through it. It's like if we left the door open for the enemy. Is there any known sin in our life? Is there any unknown sin in our life God needs to show us about? Have we left the door open? And then you know what? We get to that place. See, there's people we love. There's people we want to help. I want to go to that song you sang earlier, okay? But there's people we love, and there's people that we want to help. I'm looking at the time. It's red now. They didn't make it red at 9:30. You guys are jacking with me now. I ignore the red numbers. Those red numbers do not apply to me. They're flashing like the red, like it matters to me. But listen, there's people you're trying to help, and they can't get out of their own way. You know why? There's a door open. Man, the devil could get into their life and just do whatever the heck he wants to do. We don't live that kind of life. We're not playing church. Shut the door. Man, let's give God a chance in our lives.